Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you reach out to us, Lord, and you meet us where we are each day, Lord. Lord, there are no walls when it comes to you, Lord. You are there, even when you're we don't even understand, Lord, your presence is with us. So, Lord, we ask this morning that you would just meet us where we are. We welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord. We welcome you to come, have your way with this church body, with each one of us as a personal a human being, Lord, person or child of yours, Lord. Meet us where we are. Take us to where you want us to be. We bless what you're going to do this day, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for every person that is here this day, Lord. And I know that they will not go home the same as they walked in today, Lord, that you are going to just show them, bless them, and love them, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Testing.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Okay. How many people here have ever fished? Okay. So we know what the drag line is all about, right? I feel that my entire life, I've been hooked by God, but he doesn't press us. He'll just loosen up the drag and let us sail away and do our thing. But then eventually he starts reeling us back in. If we continue to fight him, he'll just loosen up the drag again. Well, I came to a point to where the drag worked. He wore me out. I gave my life back to Christ. Come on. And I praise God for that. And I pray that anybody that's a little wore out from being pulled with the drag, just let it go.
Come on.
It's so much better on this side.
Amen.
And like Becca said a month ago, you got to get your foot out of the world. That's one thing God has been telling me, is to let go of this world.
Amen.
And I'm doing it. And it's not going to be easy. We know that Satan is going to hammer me. If I thought I was hammered before, but God is going to protect me. And that's what I'm going to live off of. Yes. And I have something else that I never had before when I tried to walk with the Lord. I have a church family now. And I'm asking for your prayers and your support. Some of you know my situation. And it's just a little harder sometimes. But God is going to get me through it. And he's going to get everything. So I love you all. Thank you.
You know, this week, while I prepared for songs, I really had this great sense of like, man, we are celebrating some victories this morning. And I don't know if you guys have victories out there, what's going on, but just know that even if you haven't seen them come to pass yet, they are coming. So don't stop. Don't give up. Don't let it go. Know that it's coming towards you and rejoice in it. There is so much freedom in allowing God to take it all, right? There's a lot of times that we create burdens on ourselves because of us sitting here going, I'm going to try to fix this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out what I got to do. But God's promises to us really are yes and amen. And if we just allow him to take it and just lift the burden and lighten the load, you'll just see that everything he has for you works together. All things work together for good. There's nothing happening in your life now that he's not giving you the tools for and prepared you for what he has coming. He's given you everything you need. That word of God, it's a weapon for you. It really is. It's a weapon for all of the things that come up in your life. It's the promises, the firm foundation that you can stand on in every single storm and everything that comes against you. You've already got victory in Jesus. So we are celebrating all the time because know that it's already happened for you. When he died on that cross, he took care of it all. He knew every single thing. He's not surprised by something you do tomorrow or the next day. You may be surprised, but he knew about it already. And he already knew where you're going to be at and what he's moving you towards. So go after him and just allow him to take it all this morning.
Sometimes I get so busy. I get running, busy, distracted. There's a lot that you're missing in the distractions. When I get distracted and I don't know why I just went into that room and I'm busy and I'm not listening. Well, in the middle of the night, when I wake up, literally this morning at 1 to 3 a.m., all I can be thinking about is Samuel and listening. And Eli says to Samuel, go back and say, here I am and listen. And if he's got to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning so I listen, amen. Yes and amen. Because I get too busy, too distracted. And so he needs us as helpers. And sometimes you just got to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Yes and amen.
Amen. You know that the best place that you can be is resting in the presence of God. Allowing him to do what he's going to do and give you direction, speak to you in every single thing you go through, being in his presence. It's where you find peace that passes all understanding. It's where you get that joy that is your strength. It's where you can just quiet everything else that's happening around you and allow God to take hold of everything going on in your life. The presence of God is so powerful. Moments like this are so powerful where you just say, God, I'm laying it here. And I'm just looking to you for everything in my life. Let go of the problems. Stop looking at the physical of what's happening around you and start listening to what God's trying to tell you because he is showing you how the kingdom is functioning. It's why transformation in our life is so important because it's where revelation takes place. It really does. That transformation comes from all of those little secrets just being unlocked in your life all the time. As you go after God, he gives you things. As you go into your word, as you pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to just quicken you in all things. The tongue is a very powerful thing. In our lives, it really can speak life or death into our lives. It's why, even when you're not seeing what you're wanting or hearing what you're wanting from the doctors or from people around you, you keep speaking that promise. God, you've already told me that by your stripes, I am healed. So I don't care what anybody else is saying around me because I know the promise that you've already given me. It's speaking life into your life. It really is. It's saying, regardless of the physical, I'm standing on the promise that you have given me because it is already mine. We got to start seeing it as it's already here. Regardless of what's happening, you already paid the price. So it is already here. I already have it. And then it becomes the process of, body, get in line. Do what God said. Whew, come on, church. Am I the only person getting excited about promises that God's placed in all of your lives? It's not just mine, and it's not just the person sitting next to you. It's for every single one of you to take hold of and begin to apply them in your life.
Let's don't stop with this one a bit, okay? What I want is to let this become engraved in your spirit, that if the Lord is for you, who can be against you? And as we're singing this song right now, we're just going to do a little bit more of it. Let this really speak to your spirit. He is, even when we're not faithful, He is. He will be faithful even if you're out in left field somewhere. He's still there. And so don't think that because of where you are that He's going to forsake you. He is there. And so just a few more chords of this song and just let it be engraved in your spirit. Okay, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Bless you guys. Thank you. Amen. Let's give the worship team a hand. A lot of you, most of you, were here last week. And we all took part in watching some videos, right? And had to do with some couples that had been married. You know, it was a kind of a renewing your vows last week. And so I thought it was a beautiful thing. But what we did is we showed some couples that had been married, you know, whatever, 40 years, 50 years, whatever that was. And so when I was looking at those pictures that we're scrolling through, I saw one there, and I go, I didn't know that we had Ken and Barbie in our midst here, you know? And then guess who it was? It was Terry and Linda. I mean, they were like, to me, it looked just like Ken and Barbie standing there. So, you know, thank God for our changes, but, you know, it is inevitable to not change. You know, we all go through things in our life. We, not only is our physical self that changes, but we're hoping that our hearts are the ones that are changing in an even greater pace than what our physical self changes. And so we go through, because of the changes, whatever, how many years, we go out through losses, we go through gains. I lost my hair, I gained my pounds. No, all joking aside, you know, I've lost family members, I've lost friends as time has gone by, but I've also gained. I gained beautiful grandchildren, new friends. And so that's life, right? I mean, we just go through these things, and it's something that, you know, we're not going to be able to get away from. You know, we're not the same people that we were, you know, 40, 50 years ago, whenever it was that we We all got married and we started a family. And so the message for today is, and the question for today is, how has your heart changed? How has your heart changed since you said yes to Jesus? And how are you different today? There has to be something different about you this day than it was when you came. Because if everything was so perfect, why'd you come? Right? Even if we had a wonderful life of being raised and loved and whatever, there was something that was missing. And when that day came that we finally, as I say, saw the light, from that point on, you gave God, you gave the Holy Spirit a place in your life that no longer are you the guy that's in charge, but now he is. And so, as we look at this today, what makes us different? How do we know? How do people know? How would people know that we are Christians? So we're going to go right off to John 13 and starting with 34. And isn't that cool? Jesus always has the answer. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Pretty easy, huh? Pretty easy. All you got to do is love one another, and now people will be able to tell that you're one of mine. And yet, maybe it's not so easy for some of us. You really think about it. I'm sure that even the 12 that were surrounded by Jesus had their issues with loving each other. You know, we always think of them as the great guys that, that changed the world after Jesus was taken. And they were. But it wasn't like they started off that way. You know, these were guys like us. Some of them not the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree, you know. But it does make it good for us that we can at least relate with these guys. You know, they didn't know what they were going to be up against. They didn't even know what they were doing there. All they knew is that this beautiful man called them, and they responded. And, isn't it neat when Jesus can say, "Come," and it's so easy to do so. So what made Jesus different was that he loved people just as they were. Just as they were. He didn't come and say, "Well, because you're doing this or not doing this, you know, come and check with me when you start doing that." He met them where they were. He knew who they were, and he was willing to just love them through that time. And it was never about him. It was always about everybody else around him. And all he cared about was loving the people that his Father had given him, and through that he would bring glory to his Father. And if you remember in the garden when Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done," how do we do with that? How do we do with just letting his will guide our lives, rule our lives? Or how much of that, how much of it is wanting it our way? A lot of times, we try to figure out or at least put out there how we think it should work. And most of the time, we don't even involve the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We try to do it under our own merits. And could it be that maybe God is giving us someone that we are to reach out to And we've already made up our minds that you don't want to go there. You already made up your mind that maybe they're in too much of a bad place. Maybe you just don't like the way that guy looks at you. Whatever the case may be, we've already made up our minds that we're not going to go there, even if God is calling us to do that. Loving people can be hard when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do it through us. We've got to allow him, because under our own strength, it's not easy to do. There are people in our lives that can bring out the worst in us. They make us angry, frustrate us, make us say things that we wish we never said. So do you guys ever have that in your lives? Or is there anybody that might do that to you? No, I know. I knew that I wasn't going to get anybody in this church to have that. There are people that do that. And you think about it, even a TV personality, a politician, someone we don't even know, and yet we already despise them. You know, there's something about that person that just shuts us off. We don't want to have nothing to do with them. We try to stay away as far as possible from that person. And, you know, it's amazing how somebody could be in that way. And you think about it. Back in the days when Paul was Saul, how do you think them Christians felt about him then? You know, they didn't want him around. And if you remember the scripture with Ananias, it's like, go pray for Paul. Oh no, I don't want to go there. you know, there's times that we're just afraid of whatever the demeanor is, whatever who they are. In the social lives or whatever, and like in that case there, Paul was not somebody that people wanted to be close to because of his what he was doing with our Christians. But God had a plan, right? Right now, more than half of the New Testament is because Paul was God's plan. And yet, what if somebody would have not accepted him? He had a hard time getting accepted. But somebody eventually, you know, worked it so that, because God needed this man to be his spokesman. And so these kind of people will bring the worst in us. And yet there should be no worst in us. No? Do we see that in Jesus? There was never a worst in him where he just spewed hatred to somebody. You know, he disagreed a lot with mostly the religious people of that day, but there was no hatred in that man. He had love, and he tried to understand the people that surrounded him. And so he didn't say, love only those that are nice to you. He didn't say those that have the same skin color, the same political views, or the same beliefs. For God so loved the world, right? He loved everybody. And it's amazing. I was just thinking when I wrote these notes down, how many relationships have been injured or lost because of different political views. You know, you see that now, I think, more than before. And, you know, is it worth losing somebody just because you don't agree? We all have opinions. And that can be whether it's politics or whether it's how they see maybe their religious beliefs, whatever, however you want to say it. Just how maybe you're with one of your family members that maybe you don't agree with the way they're raising their kids or vice versa. There's different things that eventually wind up just, and the enemy loves it, just putting a blockade to that person. The enemy doesn't want you to have love and good relationships with your family. They're after you. It's they're after your family. And if we don't stand, if we don't stand and recognize that and stand against it, then they'll win. And like I say, politics are not worth getting into, because most of the time, we're not changing the world out there. It's just by talking to somebody. There's different ways of handling that. So it's okay to not like what some people do. It's okay to not like the spirits that have the influence over there. Not saying that, you know, no matter what they're doing, you got to just say, right, way to go, you know. It's okay to not like those things. We can't approve of those things that are maybe going against God's word or against the things that are going to harm somebody. So we can't approve of those things. So there are things that you can say, I don't like that. But yet at the same time, is there something, there's some way that we can still reach out to the people that we're not in agreement with and just show them who we are, so that they can maybe see, even the way, the things I say, the things I do, this person still is reaching out to me. I wonder that if we showed more love to people instead of criticism, if we would draw them towards Jesus. I think sometimes we spend too much time looking at the negativity rather than all the wonderful things that God is doing. So let's go to Ephesians 4:21. And we're going to read 4:21 through 24. And it says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's talking about old self, new self. And in Galatians, it says that we died, right? Galatians 2:20 says that we were crucified with Christ. And so here we are, a dead guy. And you thought all those zombie movies weren't true. Here we are, dead guys, allowing that dead guy to direct our lives, to speak into our lives, and allowing ourselves to be driven by those old desires and old impulses. All those things that maybe triggered things in us to maybe retaliate towards somebody. Maybe, you know, we have a hard time keeping our little guys closed. Oh, not you, just me. It is hard, you know, when somebody is kind of giving their thoughts or opinions or whatever, and you're going, oh no, they're so wrong. It's very hard to stay in that mode. And so what winds up happening is that sometimes we might say some things that aren't the best things for us to do, things that maybe we regret later. But all those things are things that supposedly we put to death, right? Where we shouldn't even be entertaining those things of the past. And it isn't, and I think we all understand, it isn't that right on that day that you said, yes, Jesus, and you got baptized, from that day on, boy, they say, boy, that guy, he's just the perfect person. It's almost like seeing Jesus. Well, it should be, but, you know, there are things that he still works in us with. There's things that need to die. And I think, just like Brother Dan over there, I think, you know, years later, he's still putting that old man to death. And I think we all kind of go through that. That was the old self. Now you're the new self. And that's it. You know, it's like this person that keeps on popping his head up, trying to convince us that things haven't changed, that we're still that person. And we kind of allow, like I said, by the things that we tell somebody or the way that we act towards somebody, we still kind of coming into some kind of agreement that, yeah, I'm still that. And yet we can't be there because we're dead. We died with Christ. And so, you know, Christ would not be that way. And so Christ lives through us, and that's not the guy that we were. Now we want to reflect the presence of Jesus wherever we go. Have you ever walked into or been in a place that somebody walks into the room and that person just seems to just light up the room? They're just, you know, there's smiles and there's kind of like maybe a light shining. And there's just some people that just do that. You know, no matter where they are, they bring in the spirit that just is so beautiful. Sometimes you'll meet somebody and you don't get enough of them. You want to hang out with them a little bit more. And there are people that just, there's a drawing, there's an attraction of that person. And yet at the same time, you have people that'll do just the opposite. Everything can be going great, and then one person has to walk in and the whole thing just kind of, the darkness. And people can do that too. Which one would you rather be? I hope that nobody sitting in this room ever is proud or would want to be a part of bringing in darkness into any place that you are. You are the light. You are the light that shines in this world. And the only reason that you can shine is because that time that you said yes to Jesus. You have a Holy Spirit that lives within you, and he shines. He wants to shine, and you will shine because of that Holy Spirit. And so the two sides, you bring good things, you bring bad things. We want to bring more people into God's kingdom. So I hope that it's your goal, if you want to say, to allow the Holy Spirit, that you would be that person that draws and not is a blockade. Invite. Be inviting. Jesus drew people to himself. And sometimes, maybe too many at a time. But people just wanted to be around this man. And like I say, now it's so great to be able to see this and go, well, yeah, he was God's son. He was this, he was that. For that time, he was just a preacher. He was just the guy out there doing what a lot of us are doing here today, just telling the world about his father, telling the world about who the father was, who he came to show us. You know, Jesus came to show us the father. It never was... You know, even though people looked at him, but everything was, I do what the Father says. I came to show you the Father. You see me, you see the Father. He was always just glorifying his daddy. And that should be who we are. We should be, everything we say, everything we do, every action we take should be to glorify our God, glorify our daddy. So I think that Jesus would have been just somebody that, just like I said earlier, somebody that lit up a room, somebody that you just wanted to be around. And I don't know, most of you guys have probably seen the movie The Chosen. And I think they did a great job in that movie. Just the guy they picked, the portrayal, and there's other movies that are beautiful movies too, but I don't know, this guy, whoever put that thing together, just captured what Jesus would be like. If you haven't seen it, go buy it. But but anyway, they show Jesus not only in the spiritual side of things, but just as he related with the people in his life, with his disciples, with all those that were that he encountered. And it didn't stop him from doing ministry, but he still, like the thing of the when he did turn water into wine, he liked parties. He was at a wedding, you know. They were dancing, they were laughing, they were, that's kind of the Jesus that I think we should know. You know, it's not all about yay and whatever it is that we do spiritually, you know, Lazarus. It still was about him just being him, loving all those around him and laughing with them, dancing with them. You know, a lot of people sometimes look at church people and they think we're a bunch of duds, you know. They don't have no fun. They don't realize how much fun we have out here. You know, just tap into what the Holy Spirit's doing and, boy, we're going to have some fun. So next time you come into church and the worship's going on, stand up and have some fun. And that is a point. You know, and that's not part of my sermon, but it's something for the worship team. We like you guys to stand, to wave flags, to dance. If you want to get on your knees, if you want to lay prostrate on here, you guys go and worship as the Holy Spirit would lead you. That's one thing that God has done with this church. This is a church of freedom. And if God's leading you to do certain things, then you should do that. And if you're not doing right, we'll take you to go out. No, I'm just kidding. No. We'll haul you out. No, it's... let's go to Luke 2:52. And this one says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And the reason I wanted to put this up is, you know, here's Jesus right after, you know, that's the only time you see him as a little boy or until in his 30s. But he had just gotten in trouble with his mom and dad. So they didn't spank him. But anyway, they told him, you know, they told him he didn't do well and so forth. But I wanted to show that because most of the time, you know, we're always focusing on, just the things that we do in the eyes of God. But what it says there also, and man. So, you know, we are to bring glory, we are to go in the right directions that would please God. But like with Jesus, from that time on, 18 years it took him to prepare. There was a preparation time for him from 12 years old until he was in his 30s. And so all that time, not only it says that he gained favor with God, God was blessing him, you know, even when he got baptized, says, you know, that's my boy, you know. But yet also he gained favor with man. And those are the guys that he had to relate with. There's still people out there that if you turn them off, why should they want to be around you to listen to you? Why would that be? And so it's not to say, well, I'm going to say everything that, you know, that guy wants to hear, and I'll do everything that guy wants me to do. That's not what it's about. But it still is about to be able to, as I said earlier, to be inviting, to be that person that they say, man, I really hear that guy. I like that guy. I want to hear more rather than, man, all he does is criticize and put me down and tell me about brimstone and fire and that I'm going to hell, you know. That's not who we want to be. We want to say, you know, and it sounds sometimes cliche, but Jesus loves you. But that's the truth. You know, and that's what's going to bring people to Christ, is that love, as we said earlier, that if we can somehow express that and not be just because that's the Christianese words to say, Jesus loves you. Can we show it? Can we really be that vessel that God's using to show that love? Sometimes it's not so easy, right, as I said earlier. But we can. Not us, but through the Holy Spirit. So, how many of you like gifts? No hands up there? Okay, one hand, so I'm going to give you a gift. Oh, I think we all like gifts, right? And so we all like gifts. And now through the Holy Spirit, we've been blessed with gifts that the world will never have. There's certain gifts that the Holy Spirit has made available to you as a child of God that the world doesn't even understand, much less have. A few years ago, it was very popular to take this test. I don't know, probably you guys have been around a while, but there was a test that had to do with discovering your spiritual gifts. Okay? I think we all kind of, I mean, I took it. You know, it was back, you took it. And so, you know, it was one of the things going. You know, it was supposed to, you know, you take and see what fit for you, what was your gifting and so forth. So anyway, you know, as I looked at that, it was to tell us what our ministry was, what we could do. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And this is just a sample of some of the gifts that through the Holy Spirit is made available. And it says, now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different languages or tongues, kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. So, like I said, you can go to different areas of the Bible and you're going to find other gifts that are spiritual gifts. But I wanted to bring this up because How many of the gifts that I just read would you believe that Jesus had? Right? All of them. And like I said, those are only a few. There's more. So he had every gift there was. And right answer. So when you received Jesus into your life, did you get only a portion of Jesus? No, you didn't get a portion, right? You got all he was. You got his fullness. So whatever he has, we have, right? Okay. So I liken these things more like having a tool chest. We have everything that we would ever need, and it's in this tool chest, small, big, whatever you want to call it. And there's things in there that you may not use as often or at all. Maybe you won't use a saw as often as you would a screwdriver, okay? But if you had the opportunity, that saw would be there, right? And so these gifts are all yours, okay? They're yours to have. Will you use them? Yeah, maybe. But they're there, right? So you may not ever need them either. But imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, You know, George, will you pray? Because, you know, I would like some healing prayer upon me, you know. And your response would be, that's not my gift. You know, I don't go there. Let me go get Sam or whatever to come and pray for you because that's not my gift. Can you imagine Jesus ever saying that? Whatever was needed from him, he had, he did. And so that is who we are. We have the fullness of Christ living within us. And as the word says, whatever he has, we have. Who he is, so are we. And so when these times come about that somebody needs something from you, it's not him that's going to hold back that beautiful gift that's just laying in your toolbox, collecting rust, when he's saying, I'm calling you now. And when that time comes that he calls you for that particular gift, whatever it may be, I mentioned healing, but it can be for other things. It is for his choice. So let's go back and read that. Start back again at the 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 7. If you'll put that back on, 12:7. Got it? It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, message of knowledge by the same Spirit. And to another, by a faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that Spirit. And we could stop there, because what is the common thing that you see in all these gifts? It's the Spirit, okay? The Spirit is the gift that is the giver, okay? Without the Spirit will anoint. Like I say, well, I'm not good at praying for people. I'm not good at prophesying, whatever the case may be. But when the Spirit anoints that gift, you should let it just burst out. Do what the Holy Spirit, it says to one. You could be that one with all these many things, and it doesn't mean that, okay, that test showed that I had three gifts. I am a good host. Okay, you can be that, but you can be a good healer too. And so it's all there. And like I say, I'm not bringing down that test at all, because it does kind of make you think, you know, what the things there are. But all I'm saying is that if we can believe that we have the fullness of Christ because we believed in Christ, then we should believe that as he is, so are we. And there should be nothing that would come against that. I also believe that you would agree that every day we seem to find and see just more darkness in the world, more evidence that things are not so good, negative rumors, activities. The things that we're seeing can bring a lot of uncertainty into our midst. Fear seems to be a big thing, that not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow can bring fear. And that's a part that I think we are, where we come in. You know, all the things that are going on around our world should not be affecting us to the point that we're just joined everybody and everybody's going and hiding under rocks and being afraid of what tomorrow, you know. I heard this on the news and this happened. And so whatever the cases may be, we are the ones that are to say, don't fear. It's all going to be okay. There are storms, but we are the ones that are to stand in that time and assure people that they can be good, that everything will be fine. We can find peace in whatever situation. Let's look at Philippians 4:4-8. says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So people out in the world are looking for hope. And for us, as it's saying here, we're if we can consistently stay in the prayer and belief that God is looking out for us, then we can be that person that when somebody's world falls apart, that God can use us so that we can try to bring that world back to that person. We need to be that strength. We need to be that hand that they can hold, that voice that they can hear to assure them that it's going to be all right. And we may not understand. Why is it that we have that peace? We may not understand how that peace comes about, but we know. We may not understand how we get it, but we know where we get it from. And so as we go through these times, it's like understanding that we are Jesus' hands and feet on this earth, and we are to be there. We'll go on with verse 7 and 8. Says, and the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lively, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The enemy can put a magnifying glass on all the stuff, all the negativity that we're facing from the moment we wake up in the morning. As you know, there's a big magnifying glass. And so we wind up looking at all the things that are going wrong and not ever looking at what is it that God's doing right. There are more wonderful things going on around your environment, your atmosphere, than you give credit to. Why? Because all it takes is one thing that can be negative, and it just, you know, you're focusing on that. Your eyes get taken off where they should be, and that's looking at the face of Jesus. Where's Jesus in all this? Where is he that this, whatever it may be, this thing that has come against my life, my finances are not well, my body is not well, whatever the case may be, that these things are coming against you. And yeah, not saying that everything's good or not, but if we can take our eyes off of that and place them here, there you are, Jesus. Feels good now. I know you're there. And as we turn our eyes to him, we know that he is for us and that nothing can come against us. And that is, as it said earlier, that's worth rejoicing for, worth accepting for. And when we get into this place is to rid ourselves of the doubts that come. Maybe, as it said, put your eyes on things above, on admirable things, wonderful things. Those are where our eyes should be. That's where you find Jesus. Take your eyes off of the negativity. Put your eyes on that. But then sometimes you're there and you don't see something. And it's like, well, I guess he wasn't going to answer. And so we wind up kind of having doubts that maybe this wasn't supposed to happen. So let's go to James 1 through 2:8. Starting with verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Whoa. I don't want to be double-minded, but do we find ourselves in that place sometimes? You know, it's like we know what we prayed for, we know where we're going, but we wind up, well, maybe God, it wasn't the right timing. Maybe it was God just didn't want to do that for today. And we start fluctuating, and that's what it says. You're like waving all over the place rather than to stay in that solid place, knowing that if you pray for it, it's God's timing, but it's going to happen. And as I said before, he is for you. And we need to have that just engraved in us, that he is for us. So all these things that we're praying for, we got to take doubt. I wonder sometimes, you know, when we pray for, say, for healing, for example, that because we're thinking, well, I prayed, but if it doesn't happen, if that healing doesn't take place right this moment, then maybe God's going to do it in progression or whatever we think sometimes, rather than to know that it is going to happen. Can you imagine Jesus going up to the, he was going to raise Lazarus out of the, bring Lazarus back from the dead, him standing there in front of the cave, and he looks around and he goes, look at all these people. Man, I hope this works, you know? I mean, think about it, you know? There was no doubt in his mind. He had already heard from his father, this is how we're doing it. He even took time to get there so that he could bring glory to the Father. All this is just part of what he was going to do. But he didn't take a minute to say, well, you know, if it doesn't work, then I'll try again later. You know what I mean? It was going to work. And that's kind of, I think, where sometimes we miss it, is that we make too many excuses as to why it's okay that it didn't work, rather than to go with that that trust, that knowledge, that yes, this is what we're doing. Jesus didn't hesitate. Jesus didn't have a plan B. That was, this is what I'm doing. You, stand, walk. And, but if you don't, I'll come back tomorrow. No, we don't. He didn't do that. Jesus knew who he was, as we should know who we are. And we should have no doubts. And one more scripture, and I think you guys all know this one. It's Romans 8:28. That's a good one, huh? They're all good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so when you read that, you can see that this is a promise, but it's not open to everybody. So it's not for the whole world. It says that it's for those that he called, all that love him. That's me and that's you. We love him, right? And we're sitting here because we got a call. And so, as it says, all things work out for the good. It doesn't say some things. And I know that we've all faced, maybe, or are facing some things that aren't so good. Times where we ask, where are you, God? Or why, God? Or when, God. We don't like waiting too much. When, God? You know, I've been praying for 5 minutes. Come on, you know? And so there's times that we're maybe not quite sure of the way things are. And not all that happens is pleasant. Not everything that, you know, we can't just, you know, we're children of God, so everything's just going to be peachy king, right? We know better than that, right? We've all, like I said, we've all had our times. We still might be having our times. And so not all that happens to us is pleasant. Pain is not pleasant. And I think if for some reason you don't believe me, there's a hammer back there. Go smash your finger and tell me how pleasant that was, you know. It just, you know, there are things that hurt, things that are going to kind of put us in places that, like I said, sometimes you go, why God? Where God? And so we're going to face pain and persecution, but yet our faith in God should never waver. He is able to turn every circumstance, and this is the part we need to get. He's able to turn every circumstance for our long-range good. We may not see that pain go away this moment, but he is going to give you those good things that are because that's what he said, right? That's what his promise says. All things God works for the good. And sometimes it takes, it seems like a long time that comes to be, but never give up. Never stop praying. Never stop believing. Because remember that he is with you and for you. And even we are even unaware, we're unaware sometimes of his presence. He's still there. Sometimes we feel like I said, where are you, God? And we think, well, man, what did I do? You know, how come you're not talking to me? How come I don't feel this presence within me? He's there. And you have to believe that. It's not always about emotions and funny feelings and all that. We have to believe through faith that regardless of how we're feeling, that as that song said earlier, he is faithful, even when we're not. And he will be there. He will be there for you. We have the Spirit of the living God that dwells within us. And he wants to shine through us. Every one of us here today, he wants to shine through you. And so, that is my sermon. And I think what I want you to take is that we cannot do anything on our own. We have to submit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to just have his way. His will be done, not mine. And yeah, we may find it a little bit hard sometimes to really come into submission and let God be God, but that's our whole path, right? And so he will make it happen because really you can't. That simple. We try doing things on our own strength. We have a hard time doing it, but when we turn it over to him and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, wonderful things will happen in your life. So please stand with me. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, that every one of us here this day, Lord, we are your children, Lord, every one of us here today, Lord. And all things will work out for our good, Lord. Let us see where you are. Let us take our eyes off of what the enemy's doing, Lord, that one thing that the enemy's doing, and just find all those wonderful things, Lord, countless things that you're doing, Lord. Help us to focus our eyes on you, Jesus. Help us to show us, Lord, how to put away those things, Lord, that would build blockades, Lord, to you, to the people that you want us to minister to, Lord. You gave us a command, Lord, that we would love one another. And we cannot do it in our own strength, Lord. There's too many things, Lord, that can keep us from that. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit, have your way with us, Lord. Have your way. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.